So if you were listening to the post-game show yesterday, Stu Gotts, as he's wont to do, said something infuriating, just immediately says that Kemba Walker is the second best player in this entire series.
Hey.
Yes, I'm glad that you elaborated on that, which would make the Celtics his prohibitive favorite, because the Celtics would then have, I presumably, the two best players in this series, because you're making Kemba Walker better than Bam, better than Jimmy Butler, and it ignores Kemba Walker will have a game where he's going to make a bunch of shots and take a bunch of shots, and he will have a high-scoring game, but it ignores defense, which is totally understandable. It's something that happens all the time in highlights and in the conversation I'm about to pose. When Magic Johnson says that he's never seen a better defensive play in the playoffs than what Bam Adebayo did last night, and if you didn't see it, Jason Tatum was headed to the rim, was skying at a great height, was sort of descending with his arm cocked back, and Bam Adebayo with his hand practically in the rim, right? With remarkable wrist strength under the circumstances, doesn't get caved in. And furthermore, Jason Tatum ends up on his back at the base of the basket, and Adebayo's holding the basketball yes. after that because he's gotten the ball back. He hasn't even blocked it into the stands. He's got the ball back.
The timing on it was absolutely perfect. Left hand, by the way, got it there just in the nick of time because Tatum was ready to throw that thing down. He had the dunk face on. Tatum had his dunk face on. Every player has that dunk face. He was ready to throw it down. I don't know how Bam did that.
Okay, but my question to you is, because Stu Gotts is just, he's factoring in nothing but Kemba offense when he is surmising who the best players in this series are. And the question I want to pose to you, the shipping container, and the audience is, because while we can point to LeBron James's chase down block in Game 7 on Andre Iguodala and the Warriors for a great upset, I don't think there are many defensive plays you guys can name that you think are memorable in that sport. Like, historically great. When someone does the rhetorical trick of saying, as much as I'd like to object, that's the best defensive play I've ever seen, what are some of the other nominees where you're talking about history's most memorable defensive play?
Oh, Dan, how can you forget James Harden on Lou Dort?
That's true. That was amazing.
It's, what you're saying is absolutely right. I can do it through the prism of, like, Heat fan. Chris Bosh's block on Danny Green, LeBron's block on Tiago yep. Splitter. But you're right. I mean, we tend to remember the offense, and if someone misses, we don't really credit the defense. We just say, man, that guy's not clutch.
I can only remember two off the top of my head. It's Bam and the LeBron block, right? And Bam happened last night. That's why I can remember it. But someone put together a list of top 10 defensive plays all time in the NBA. Do you remember this?
No, hold on a second. Let's do this right now. Whose list is this? We're going to just do it 10 to 1 with the appropriate fanfare. These are the greatest. Good. We don't have to think it out anymore. Somebody put together a list.
No, but the funny thing is they have put together a list. You won't remember any of these.
Okay, good. Okay? Good. Let's do the top 10 most historic defensive plays ever in basketball. According to, we're going to give...
SportsSkeeda.com.
All right, what?
You want a more credible place? I'll find it.
That one's fine, but okay. What? Can you just give us that website again?
Like, yeah, it is SportsSkeeda.com. That's what it's called.
How do you spell Skeeda?
SPORTS. That's how you spell sports, in case you needed it. And then Keeda is KEEDA. Okay.
You connected that S, like, yes. That sounded weird.
I didn't know what to do.
It sounded sports Skeeta. It sounded like it had an S right in the middle of it. There was no telling that there was a K in there, but very good. According to sportskeeta.com, number 10, Stu Gotts.
Hold on. I lost the cipher. A second. Sports Keeta's going out of business. I mean, this is crazy. What happened to Sports Keeta? Hold on a second.
Didn't somebody have a middle finger block last series? Wasn't that a big play?
Yeah, Kawhi, but we're not talking about him anymore.
All right, number 10, Dan. Chance. Set me up again.
I don't want to set you up again.
All right. Tayshaun Prince chase down block on Reggie Miller.
That was a good one.
That was incredible. That was a
good one. You guys remember that?
That's
number 10? That's number 10?
That ended Reggie Miller's career.
How about this sportskeeda.com?
I love it. That's number 10?
Yeah. Gerald Henderson, this is number 9.
What?
Picks off James Worthy. Big game, James.
I thought it was the Bobcats, Gerald Henderson.
All right. No one remembers.
Number 8.
You guys really remember Tayshaun Prince?
Yes, yeah, it was very long. It was a chase down block.
That was at the end of a game. That was incredible.
Reggie Miller was like calling for, you know, goaltending, and it wasn't goaltending.
That was the last moment in his career, I think.
All right, for number eight, we go back to 1962, Jerry West steal and winning layup in the postseason.
Oh, one of these is going to be Dennis Johnson stealing the ball, too, probably, right? Number seven, or Larry Bird.
Yeah, who sold the ball? Yeah, that's a steal, my man.
Yeah, the Johnny Most call. Had,
yeah, all I remember is that and really short shorts and Larry Bird. It's a haunting image of him just whipping that towel. It's
all right,
like
the
least sexy thing.
Wait a minute. I need to
if you ever want to last long in the bedroom, fellas, use promo code Mike and just think of Larry Bird using this towel in the sexual manner he was.
All right, I need to explain to the audience, because this isn't a visual medium and we just got to drink in Mike, all of Mike Central. I need to explain to the audience. So Mike looks an awful lot right now like Gardner Minshew. He's wearing a headband. He's got the terrible mustache. He also looks like he's got about a four-day hangover beard on his face. And he was making a teeth-clenching sort of, not quite fighter pilot in Top Gun, not quite Val Kilmer in Top Gun, but he was gritting his teeth like to give off manly sensuality, and he was slapping someone's fanny with a towel while grinding his hips slowly. Okay, so that is the image that next time you're having sex and you want to have some staying power, think of that. Think of Mike.
Do I have to?
There's a steal, really? My bird.
I don't even know if I want staying power anymore.
There's a steal, my bird.
What number are we on? Number eight or number seven? Number seven.
Number seven, yeah. Robert Parrish, steal, game four, 1984 NBA Finals. He stole a ball late in regulation to push the game to overtime. The Celtics would win it from there.
Number six.
You remember that one,
Dano?
No,
I don't remember that one.
Exactly.
Stigazzo. Number
the chief,
number six.
Horace Grant steals the title for the Bulls. I don't know what that means.
I don't remember that either.
He stole the ball before John Paxson hit the game winner, the big one against the Phoenix Suns. You remember that?
Oh, actually, one of these plays is going to be Michael Jordan stealing the ball from Karl Malone, too. Number five.
Olajuwon denies the Knicks a title.
How?
That's a good question.
Just sort of
just
by being
insisting.
Elijah Wan.
just by being Elijah Wan and the Knicks being the Knicks.
Number four, Stugatz.
They don't really elaborate this, sportskita.com. Number four. Well, you know what? We all remember this, okay? No one more so than Bob Ryan. Havlicek stole the ball. Hondo.
Made this list, Bill Simmons.
No, hey, there's a lot of Celtics on it. Number three,
Larry Bird picks off the inbounds pass.
And that's a steal by Bird.
Number two,
LeBron James chase down block.
So
Bam's already number one.
Wow, incredible.
And finally, yes, very good. And obviously, Bam's number one. Because I don't want, for some of you in our audience who are meticulous and like things in order, to have to go to the internet or go to sportskita.com because you're frustrated because you've got a splinter in your side. The number one actual defensive play of all time, according to sportskita.com. I'd like to know what Kita means. I don't understand. Are we saying something that's perhaps a deviant sexual move? Do we have any idea what Kita is? Because I keep saying it.
It could be sports Kita, or it could be sports Skita. I don't know. I mean,
stop saying that.
Okay. Anyway, it's Michael Jordan making the steal on Karl Malone in the post and then swinging that series right before the Byron Russell shot. But Chris had something that was Heat related that he wanted to discuss, and I think, Mike, I could get away today trying to keep the whole show Heat related, right? Like,
yeah,
without
absolutely.
Much divergence.
Well, I think the national stories are that block. It's one of the great. Magic Johnson called it the greatest defensive play he's ever seen.
Sports Kita did at the end of the last segment as well.
Correct. It's that, and you know, of course, the Nuggets ruining the LA party in the Western Conference Finals, and everyone's upset at Jokic and Murray.
Yes, and that's a bummer. It really is, because I wanted to see the Clippers against LeBron. But what were you saying Heat related, Chris?
So before the playoffs, I feel like a question that I'm about to ask would have been a real easy answer. And the question is, of these two teams, the Heat and the Celtics, which of their two young stars would you rather have? Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, or Bam Adebayo, Tyler Hero? I feel like a couple weeks ago, that would have been like everybody's laughing at you. And I'm not saying that the Heat have leapfrogged that duo, but I just feel like right now, as a Heat fan, if you said to me, would you trade Jason Tatum, would you trade Bam and Hero for Tatum and Brown? I don't know if I'm doing that. I could be way off and just being a Heat fan, but isn't that closer than people might have thought a couple weeks ago?
Let's discuss this for a second because it's a good sports radio question. Would you do me a favor, those Stugats, because I don't have it at the at my fingertips. When I watched that game last night, I don't recall Jaylen Brown doing much of anything. I remember a corner three that he made, but like what was his stat line for that game? Because he was surprisingly absent. I don't remember much from him.
He had 17 points, 5 rebounds, 2 assists, a steal. He was 6 of 14 from the field, 3 of 4 from 3.
He had a crucial tap-in offensive rebound put back late in the game.
Right.
That was huge.
All right, so but did technically, are we being homers about this? Did Jaylen Brown even last night on a night where I remember him sort of disappearing, did he have a better night than Tyler Hero? He had a better scoring night than Tyler Hero. Tyler Hero filled up the box score a little bit more than that. But let's address the question Chris is asking, because Jason Tatum is an elite offensive player. But, you know, best case scenario, Tyler Hero becomes your elite offensive player. I don't think any of us have Bam becoming an elite offensive player. Even last night, Doris Burke, you guys tell me, Doris Burke was saying that he's got to develop sort of that elbow jumper. And I'm like, he kind of has that. Like when he shoots that shot, he does it confidently. He's not like out there bricking that shot.
I think if anything, he needs to develop just taking it more because he seems pretty good at it. I trust him with it. So yeah, Jason, to Dan's point, Jason Tatum's also developed a lot on the defensive end as well. He's not just
he's a great player.
Well, that's,
his passing has gotten really good too.
But that's why I think that Stugat's saying that Kemba Walker is the second best player when he's not even the second best player in his team because he's not accounting for two-way players. There are a bunch of very good two-way players on the court in this series. And I would say that the Miami Heat, I think I've told you guys this, the Miami Heat actually believe that the ceiling on Tyler Hero is Devin Booker or above. That's what they think. That seems really high.
What's Tatum's ceiling then?
To me, but Tatum's a better player than Devin Booker.
I think Tatum can be the best player in the league.
Yeah,
quite honestly,
you
nailed it when you said like, oh, he could be like Kevin Durant. I considering how he's developed, and they're always going to do like the eulogizing of Kobe and say, oh, he worked with Kobe. They kind of had to deprogram some of the Kobe because he's taken actually a really big leap. The isolation stuff was really bad from Tatum. He was forcing it, and now he's turned into an elite isolation player.
So, Chris, to answer that question, because I know we all feel good today, and Bam had one of the greatest plays in NBA history, certainly in Miami Heat history, when you consider that what Mike and I just said, that Jason Tatum could be the best player in the NBA eventually. Yes, Riley would make that trade.
Well, can you hold on a second with that one? Because I'd like to deconstruct that for a second. Because I have thought, and this is something that we do all the time in sports radio, where you start splitting hairs and semantics, and you start arguing as if you have extreme disagreement, even though your disagreement isn't quite that extreme. I don't think there is such a thing as better than Kevin Durant. Like, we could sit here and go back and forth, but as an offensive player,
right,
we could put him against anybody, and you can argue that you think somebody is better, but I think of him as the very best of how that's done, and we could quibble about the 10 guys you want to make that argument about.
That's fair. His game, just when I said it at the time, his game reminded me of Kevin Durant. That's all.
But that's why when Mike says best player in the game, like, I'm willing to concede to you that Jason Tatum has growth, that he's great as is, that he has made a leap both offensively and defensively and might be able to physically grow more and metaphorically grow more as a 22-year-old. But Kevin Durant? I put so few people in that class that I have a hard time getting my head around Kevin Durant.
Yeah, That's hard to imagine. And Kevin Durant is just so impressive looking. As a 7-footer doing that stuff. As that generation gets older, I think Jason Tatum can be the face of his generation, considering the leap that he's made. And he's only 22. So 25 is really like your prime. 25 to 27 is your prime NBA career. If he continues to develop like this, I would make the Celtics trade to answer your question. I would go Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum over Bam Adebayo and Tyler Hero. And I value Bam Adebayo and Tyler Hero immensely. It's just Jason Tatum is the type of superstar that Pat Riley clears cap room for.
Yeah, Doris last night was comparing him to Luka, like in that conversation, the way people are talking about Luka this year, that she actually, because of defense, actually might have Tatum ahead of Luka right now.
Well, I felt like she got caught up in the air, though, is what happened there, because I felt like while Doris was talking that she realized, wait a minute, no, Tatum isn't the offensive player that Luka is, and so now I've got to go to defense because I know that Luka's not a good defensive player. I thought she got caught up in the air on her thought there.
That's a heady play.
It was.
That's why Doris is a Hall of Famer.
It was. She did a good job with that. I don't help me with this because when I look at Jason Tatum, I do not see, even understanding everything you guys are saying, silky smooth, makes it look effortless. His range is a thing to behold because he can make it from deep and he can get his shot against anybody, right? Like that
absolutely. That is except for Bam. Yeah.
that is Kevin Durant. That is getting your shot against anybody. He can always get that mid-range jumper. I just have not considered him. Maybe it's because I'm just latched on too much to the old heads. I just don't consider him best in the game good. I consider, like, if this is his ceiling, you guys think it's enough to win a championship? Because that's a pretty good team around him.
I think he needs different players around him. It's a pretty good team around him. I think he needs different players. I think they need to all accept that he is very clearly their best player and position some of their roster. Marcus Smart's a good guy to have around him. I'm not sure Kemba is a good guy to have around him. I'm not sure Gordon Hayward is a good guy to have around him. I think he can continue to develop. Right now, I'm not entering him in that conversation, even though he's already an all-star. I'm just projecting with him. He's incredibly impressive, and considering the leaps that he's made year over year, I think you'd be selling him short if you don't expect him to continue to improve.
There have been massive leaps, but that's the big thing. The leaps have been so massive year to year, but Durant is third year. Maybe Dan's right. Maybe Mike, we're putting him in too lofty of a place. Durant was 30 points a game his third year. I mean, and Tatum's in his third year. Yeah. They were roughly the same age.
And Daryl Morey believes the third year, you start knowing exactly who a player is by year three.
Well, you talk about growth historically, right? And I don't know if this is true anymore, but I remember this has been the analysis of the Bob Ryans and the Michael Wilbons for a long time. Going into the evolution of the sport with the three-pointer and everything that LeBron did in 2010. The history of that sport is, you as a team or as a player like Jason Tatum have to suffer great pain before you win anything. It doesn't just happen where you get Kawhi Leonard immediately wins. And even though Kawhi Leonard immediately won, that offseason he had the great pain of the Ray Allen shot happened because he missed free throws at the end of a game.
He also landed on a great team with a great coach.
But
Kawhi.
But usually with guys of Tatum's age, there is a suffering involved that leads to the improvement that you're talking about because they're competition-aholics and they get mad. You gave him that suffering last night. Because he's got to watch. He's got to watch all day today. Chris said he could not stop watching that dunk.
All day.
Heat fans are doing that all day today, where you're just, this is when SportsCenter gets the numbers because Heat fans are just sitting there. What they want to see over and over again, the deconstruction of that play that made them feel so good. But Jason Tatum has to go to sleep at night knowing that he had it cocked back and knowing that everyone's watching all day today. Oh, yeah. No, he said no to you. You thought you had it at the height of your arrogance, at the height of your game. You were going to give us the playoff moment, and the other guy took it from you.
Yeah, and he gave us the playoff moment, at least up until now. Tatum, though, is the kind of play. Like, game two cannot come quickly enough for Jason Tatum. He needs to get that out of his system. But I think what Mike and I are saying with Tatum is he'll put that behind him, and I expect him to have a massive game in game two. Like, I do. As bad as that was last night, and it was bad. That was embarrassing.
He's the type of player that it doesn't matter what kind of defense you play him, play on him. He's going to get that shot off. And
made it look easy against Jimmy Butler.
Yeah, yeah. And he's going to make it some. Back to the Heat for just a second. While Pat Riley, in his most honest moment, I can tell you, he's got to be surprised by this. I still think, are we looking at this as a perspective of, well, this is a showcase because so many teams were saying, I don't want Bam Adebayo for our superstar. I don't want Tyler Hero for our superstar. This is, in the eyes of many, elevating Bam Adebayo now, even though he was an all-star, to he just became a legitimate national name.
A lot of people discovered who he is yesterday,
yeah,
because this has been happening all season. People were surprised to see him in the All-Star game. People couldn't pronounce his name on national radio.
Yeah, and switching isn't sexy. If Bam Adebayo comes out and defends a point guard and the point guard misses, like, Heat fans will notice. Heat Twitter is like, oh, that's insane, but that doesn't resonate. You need something like that to resonate for people to truly appreciate defense. I'm trying to figure out what the end game here is, though. Is it all of a sudden this team now and developing these players, or is it still going out and getting someone the likes of a Jason Tatum, like that type of superstar?
It's still Antetokounmpo.
Yeah,
it has to be.
It's still, you still want Antetokounmpo. Then you get into the conversation about whether you trade things for him or not. But what you saw from the Tatums of the world at the beginnings of their careers is the feeling that he had. You saw when he was howling at the moon because he moved to his left and made that jumper, three-point line. He's feeling himself, and then you go from that to Bam Adebayo stealing the entire narrative from him. And I think a thing that just gets lost that will never stop being weird to me, Stugat, I don't understand how Bam Adebayo has the athleticism to take at the top of the key both Jason Tatum and Kemba Walker. Like, that's something
Two totally different players.
I don't understand. No, but when you're isolated like that and you see that both of them, what is the Jurassic Park? Is it the Velociraptor? The raptor where the
that's a Dilophosaurus, Dan.
The scales
the
come
out.
The
killed Wayne Knight, spoiler alert.
Yes.
Good job out of you, Mike.
Thank you, Mike. Yes, he's a Jurassic Park.
That was
Park
after
expert.
You didn't say the magic word. And then, like, he's like, oh, you want to play? And he's trying to get his Jeep out of the mud. And then he gets in there and he lets out a scream that's actually quite memorable. Dilophosaurus needs to come back in that series.
Committed that to memory.
That's got to be one of the most iconic rain scenes in movie history.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, I can't think of a better one.
Well, probably the one with the T-Rex, because in that very same movie, the T-Rex stomping in the mud. No?
The one with, like, the canister. He's trying to get this canister to work or something.
Oh, yeah, the Barbasol. Yeah.
How about Caddyshack, where it's pouring, the pastor is playing. You guys didn't watch Caddyshack, but the pastor is playing golf. He's having the greatest round of his life,
good.
And he gets struck by lightning on the 18th hole.
Shawshank Redemption.
Yeah. Oh, that's a good one.
That is a really good one. Newman. So Newman was eaten. Those were small, though. Those are not.
The Dilophosaurus was small and kind of cute, and then you didn't realize that.
So that's Goran Dragic more than Bam.
Yeah,
then.
Goran Dragic is the Dilophosaurus. Yeah, Bam probably has the agility of a raptor. And remember, they don't attack the same part of the fence twice, so they're clever girls.
Stugat, you tell me a guy that you've seen who can guard both Kemba Walker and Jason Tatum at the top of the key.
LeBron.
Yeah. It's a short list. It's good company.
You saw it early with Bam in those Warriors games that only Heat fans remember. Bam Adebayo playing smothering defense on Steph Curry very early in his career.
It's just crazy, though. Devin Booker, they put him in late in games. That's who everyone's going to get. Like, that's what LeBron's going to get, Stugat. They're not going to put him on Anthony Davis. Like, he's your defensive closer, right?
100%. He's your defensive closer. Okay, of course. He always has been. He always will be.
Are we looking ahead to an NBA Finals with the Lakers and Heat? Because
yes.
If so, I think you got to put Bam on Anthony Davis. But Bam will get caught in switches plenty, and he'll be forced to stop LeBron James plenty.
Oh, I'm just saying at the end of games.
You're saying it's Heat Lakers Finals is what I'm hearing.
Yep, that's what I'm hearing too.
Our tone hasn't been quite effervescent enough. There have been some sexual sounds from Chris Cody, and Mike creeped us all out by doing the Larry Bird swaggering with a towel, spanking a man in the locker room on the ass.
And there's a steel viper.
Johnny Most.
But weird. Mike was all pumped up saying that last night is the first time that it's actually felt like the playoffs, where you get that fear, you get a team you don't like. I mean, it's been too easy, Stugatz. It's been, the Miami Heat have rolled through these playoffs. There hasn't been like these giant fear moments. And you pooped yourself at the end, even after what Bam did, because it looked like Tatum's shot was going in after somehow he combat rolled all over the floor after, like, that was absurd how that game ended.
That was amazing. The Heat have lost, what, one game during the postseason? So you're right. You haven't had many moments like that. Last night, you had that moment. Didn't want to go down 0-1. Bam makes one of the great plays we'll ever see in NBA history. But I can, if Tatum hit that shot,
yes, that
we'd not be talking about Bam's block right now.
It would
have
been another overtime of more. We would have forgotten all those plays and then talked about what happened in the second overtime.
The cliche, it's better to have loved and lost than to have never loved before, and I'm with that. But to have that big three, to have every national radio show that we did for several years be about the Heat's regular season game against the Charlotte Bobcats, and to have that ripped away by not just LeBron leaving, but blood clots, and then the face of the franchise leaves. To have it back feels so good to me with a team that this is why we watch sports. This is not something that happens to my team. This is something that happens to, like, the Anaheim Ducks, a miracle run in some other sport. It doesn't happen in the NBA. You can think about, like, the Rockets that did it, an underachieving regular season Lakers team that did it from this position.
Knicks did it as
this
an 8 seed.
This is the first Eastern Conference Finals that doesn't have a 1 or a 2 seed since before I was born. So this is unprecedented. And I hope people don't do the bubble thing, because watching that team last night, putting it all together, they might legitimately be the best team in the East, and it is ridiculous. It's absurd. Pat Riley got this player, Jimmy Butler, with zero cap room.
It is. It's crazy. Roy, what were you laughing at? Stugatz trying to sneak in his 8-seeded Knicks. Is that what you were laughing at?
Yeah, yeah, and that brought back bad memories for me. So thanks a lot, Stugatz.
No, you guys, pretty glaring omission. I mean,
lockout season.
Been done, right?
Lockout season.
Wait, Mike, you can't say don't do the bubble. Don't do the bubble to me, and then do lockout season.
Very true. Very true. Touché. I stand down. I have laid down my sword, sir.
But I'll tell you what's going to happen. And Chris, that's so funny.
That was so cheap. You did that to him.
I know. I know.
It's unfair.
You've learned well.
I laid my sword down.
The battle is over.
I'm changing, man. I'm going to give people wins.
But I'll tell you what's going to happen, Mike. You're not going to like this. Chris is right. He brought it up earlier, so I'll give him the credit. If it's Nuggets and Heat, you're going to get the bubble thing. It better be Heat and Lakers, or else everyone's going to chalk all this up to the bubble.
Which is really unfortunate, because the Heat took out the best player in the league, the two-time reigning MVP in 5. And I don't want to talk about, like, the Celtics series is over. But the Celtics are they went through the champions, and I think everybody would say, look, the Celtics are favored in this series. So if they go through the Celtics, the Bucks, and potentially LeBron James and the Los Angeles Lakers. Now, this is a crazy scenario. You can't throw bubble at that team. You just simply can't.
No.
You got to give them credit.
But you can if they go through Jokic.
Yeah.
to answer your question, though, just to be clear, you should know that whatever the run is, and this team has been swayed in the past by recent developments, that team that won whatever it was. What was their record there? 20 of 21 that one season with Dion Waiters, when they decided to give all those guys the contracts. They were swayed by a 21-game stretch where they gave guys contracts, and let's see if you can do it again. You should know that the plan, as it's been articulated to Jimmy Butler, is we're going to get another big guy. We are not done with you as our big guy.
But they did. They did, and it was on their team all along. And noticeably absent, Chris, you did such a great job with the predictions, but there was one person raising his fist and trying to get everybody's attention this offseason, saying this was coming from Bam Adebayo. Can I get a little Mike was right, too?
Oh,
can
no.
Can I get a little Mike was right? Mike
By the
was
way,
right.
Though, you actually have to get the big guy, right? Because, like, the Knicks, every time there's free agency, they're like, oh, we're going to get 3 big guys, but they don't get the big guy. So you could tell Jimmy Butler we're going to get the big guy. You got to get the big guy, though.
But just so that he doesn't have any illusions, you understand what I'm saying? That as
yeah,
they're
you
building,
lie to your superstars. That's what you do.
You think Jimmy wants a second guy? Yeah, Jimmy Mike, wants a second guy at this point. I mean,
the answer is no, Mike. No credit for you.
Yeah. Well, look, Pop thought Mason Plumlee was better than Bam Adebayo during the offseason that I was hyping him up. So maybe it sounded ridiculous at the time, but I thought that this would be the ceiling for Bam Adebayo, and he's developed. Look, if they develop guys like Tyler Johnson into the contract that he got, and they did it with Duncan Robinson, what do you think they can do with guys that are out of Kentucky, like Bam Adebayo and Tyler Hero? They're showing you right now.
Let's talk about Kendrick Perkins and how he pronounces the name of Bam Adebayo. Now, some people are going to have to learn this name. I remember this happened to me on television. I had to learn the name of Antetokounmpo by screwing it up several times before I got to Antetokounmpo. So do you think that when Kendrick Perkins comes on with us today at 10:30 Eastern, that he's going to clean some of this up?
Bam Adebayo, well coached by Eric Spoelstra.
What's wrong with that?
Bam out of bayou.
Bam out of the bayou.
Now, is he saying Bam out of the bayou?
Yeah, and he's made reference to, look, I can't say his name, and I just call him out of the bayou. You're going to have to get with the program. So it's
Bam out of the bayou, well coached by Eric Spoelstra.
I like Spoelstra there. That's my favorite part of that. Yeah,
I'm glad that you kept that in there, Chris, because it is delightful at the end.
Bam out of the bayou, well coached by Eric Spoelstra.
Oh, it's the best.
It also sounds like he's Stugatz running out of breath at the end of a too long phrase.
Bam out of the bayou, well coached by Eric Spoelstra.
Kendrick Perkins has warmed Miami's hearts. I cannot believe we are facing a time where Kendrick Perkins is joining us on the national show. Considering all the bad things that Dan has said about Kendrick Perkins over the years, Dan, telling you right now, don't ruin this for me. Don't bring up any of those things. Don't bring up the past. Just embrace him like the recipe Twitter has.
Should Dan apologize on the front? You don't even want to bring it up that way.
Bam out of the bayou. Welcome to Spoelstra.
All right, what's happening on that last word there? The last word, Spoelstra, is he running out of breath or is he being stabbed by a sharp object?
Bam out of the bayou, well coached by Eric Spoelstra.
Oh, he's definitely, I mean, take it from an expert, he's running out of breath.
Bam out of the bayou, well coached by Eric Spoelstra.
Yeah.
Okay, there is no L in Spoelstra the way
Bam
he's...
Bam out of the bayou, well coached by Eric Spoelstra.
Yeah, how is he spelling Spoelstra, there?
S-P-O-L.
I don't think there's an L. It's S-P-O-S. There is an L in his actual name, the way that he's saying this.
Spoelstra.
Yeah, there's no L in there.
Spoelstra.
Okay. Stop shouting at me.
S-P-O-E-L.
Spoelstra.
Yeah.
Bam out of the bayou.
So we're going to talk to Kendrick Perkins, and he's not going to be able to say Bam Adebayo's name?
Bam out of the bayou, well coached by Eric Spoelstra.
All I want Kendrick Perkins to do is come on the radio show and do everything he is doing on television and social media. I think he's got it. All he does is that. We're all happy because that is, and I can't believe I'm saying this, the only voice I want to hear from nationally on the Miami Heat. Is Kendrick Perkins.
Bam out of the bayou, well coached by Eric Spoelstra.
I feel like we could do a whole interview, just like hype it up. Like, yeah, them goons, let's go. Let's go here. And he would just like get into it. Like, let's, we could just do that.
Well, let's do that.
Interview.
We can be the hype man for Kendrick Perkins to just do. I'm here for that if you want to help me set that up. If you guys could, though, I want you to erase from your minds any knowledge that you have of Kendrick Perkins. I give you no information. And I play for you this voice.
Bam out of the bayou, well coached by Eric Spoelstra.
Do you say to me 6'10", 300 pounds?
No, I say small town sheriff in Louisiana.
I don't know. Let me hear it again.
Bam out of the bayou, well coached by Eric Spoelstra.
Somebody wearing a sheriff that is wearing beige, correct?
Yes.
Bam out of the bayou, well coached by Eric Spoelstra.
Jowly. Somebody's got a fat face.
Bit of a chaw dog, too.
A beige vest? Is that what
Not
we're saying?
Not a beige vest. All beige. Like just like sort of like a state like a sheriff. Trooper.
See,
like
I imagine him like beige vest with like a sheriff's, like the sheriff thing on the on his heart, and that's about it.
Okay, man. Whatever you want, man. This is your vision.
Why?
I'm just giving people dubs now.
Why is it my vision?
Just been stubborn.
I think it was your and Dan's vision. I never even thought about it.
I've been pushing back too much in life, and I'm just going to give people dubs. You're right. It's a vest now. Now I can only picture a vest.
It sounds to me like a big black guy.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to play along.
Just end it there. Just end it with him shouting like a big black.